Let the church say amen. Amen. You all get another drink of that water that caused you to sing so this morning. Everybody sounded good this morning. It's an uplifting to not only the song leader, but to the minister who follows just as well. So just sing with all of your heart when you make singing praises unto the Lord. This morning, I want you to, for a moment, to remember those who are on our prayer requested list, on our prayer list. The bulletin has an expanding number on that list right now. So I want you to remember those names that are in there, and just as an added name to be added. I'm looking on there and I don't see the name. It may be on here. Yes, it is on here. I believe it's on here. But anyway, let us pray for Sister Dorothy Welch and her mother, Sister Maddie Taylor, as they shall be journeying away from us later on this week or toward the end of the week. And she has asked and requested the prayers of the congregation. So let us continue to remember those whose names are already in the list, but remember those that we add from time to time as well. So let us remember to pray for everybody. Pray for each and every one of us. Like I always tell you, you pray for me and I'll pray for you. And even if you don't pray for me, I'm going to still continue to pray for you anyhow. So we pray for everyone. We even pray for our enemies. So let's just continue to remember that when we go to God in prayer. And as speaking of going to God in prayer, let us do that right now. O righteous Father of heaven, the maker and creator of all things and all persons, every animal, every living being, every living creature in this world, you have made us, O Lord, and we thank you. Father, you gave us another opportunity this morning that we are able to come out and to serve thee in spirit and in truth. We thank you, O Heavenly Father. We thank you for each and every member in the congregation this morning. We thank you for the congregation itself, as well as the leaders and their families and the brethren who have taken part in the services thus far, as well as their families. We thank you this morning, and we pray for that long list that we have of the sick and the shut-in, O Heavenly Father. But we thank you most of all that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to hang, bleed, and die on yonder cross. But the good part about that, Father, was that he got up again. And we thank you so very much that Jesus lives today. And we thank you once again, O Heavenly Father, for the church that he purchased with his own blood. Thank you this morning, Father, for those who may be traveling this week, those who may be traveling this day, and those who may be traveling on their way to get here. We especially ask your blessings upon all of those who are moving about. And then, O Heavenly Father, we pray for blessings upon the congregation and the worship service that we have entered into. And we ask you to be with each and every one of us, O Lord. Father, bless those who are raising their children, and bless those this morning, O Heavenly Father, who have raised their children, that they may enjoy their rest from raising their children right now, O Lord. Then, my Heavenly Father, we come praying and asking you to be with us this morning as we continue on now into the rest of our services. Be with us all and continue to bless each and every one of us, especially all of those who are members of the household of faith. And we pray for strength for those who have asked that we pray for strength for them. And we pray for strength for the one who has never met the Lord, that he may have a space and time that he may come to the Lord. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for all you do for us, everything you've done for us. And we ask you, O Heavenly Father, keep continuing to bless us as we go forward in this life. It is in the name of your Son, Jesus, that we continue to ask all of these blessings. Let the church say amen. Amen. This morning, we're going to be taking our lesson from Malachi chapter 3, the verses number 6 and number 7. And the Bible says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your father, ye are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return?" So this morning, we want to talk for a little bit on the Lord. I am God, and I change not. Politicians talk about it during election times. Companies talk about it in their advertising and marketing campaigns. Individuals talk about it as well. What I speak of right now is change. Things are not the same as they once were. Neighbors used to be kind to one another and speak to each other. Now most people don't even know who lives next door, and not even next door, but not they don't know who lives around the corner from them. We have changed from what we used to be, and some of us are still evolving into what we think we want to be. We need to realize one fact. There are some things that man cannot, will not, and shall not ever be able to change. No matter how much we try, no matter how much we stray, and no matter how much we try our best, we can't change some things. It is impossible for us to change God. We cannot change God. In the text, he tells these people that he's talking to is very simple. He speaks to them in verse number 6 there. He says, he tells who he is. He says, I am the Lord. I change not. So when God has already decided and told us that he is not going to change, so guess who needs to make a change? We do. God was talking to those hard-headed Israelites, letting them to know that he was their God, even though they had turned away from him. He had been faithful to these people, even though they were not to him. He had honored the covenant and the ordinance that he had made with them. Otherwise, they would have been consumed. So let us look today for a few minutes at this lesson. Number one, the promises of God are not changing. Every politician, when it is time to run, is always full of promises. He always promises the moon and can't even deliver what's here on earth. He or she has lofty goals and tried to win over the voters with their promises. Once that person is elected, often his or her promises never show up. They don't even come into existence anymore. I've got this office now. I'm all right. I don't have to honor the promises that I made. But as children of God, we can rest assured that God will not promise anything that he cannot deliver on. There are thousands of promises in the Word of God. Of those, some are not yet delivered. They shall be in due time, though. Joshua spoke of this matter in Joshua chapter 21 and verse number 45. He said, not one of any good thing God spoke to the Jews of has failed. Every one of them was fulfilled up to that time. Some people, faith is so weak. Some of our faith is so weak today that they can't stand on some of God's promises. In Romans, we need to have the strength like Abraham. We need to become like Abraham, who in Romans chapter 4, the Bible said he staggered not at God's promises, though through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And then in verse number 21, it says, being fully persuaded that he had promised what he was about to deliver, what he had promised, he was able to perform, in other words. So Abraham believed against hope that what God said he was going to do, he would do. Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, the Bible says in chapter 15 of Genesis verse 5, God promised Abraham that his seed would be as numerous as the stars in the sky. If it's not God's promise, you can be assured that the promise probably will never be fulfilled. Man can't always keep his promises. But in the text, we notice what he says once again. He says, for I am the Lord, I change not. God is unchangeable. He has punishment for those who disagree with him. And if you are and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Some are even under the misconception that God can't give me what I can give myself. God can't take care of me like I can take care of myself. If you're part of that group that like to think that, you need to come back to church. You need to come back to church, and if I could give it to the church, If I could just give to the church, I won't be able to satisfy my need if I give to the church. And what are you talking about, preacher? You got a little confusing there for me for a moment. You said, if you give to the church, some folk think that if they give to the church, they won't be able to provide for their own needs. And you know I was going to slip in a little bit about giving here. If you provide for the church, you won't be able to fulfill your own needs. Well, I got some news for you. This was addressed in the book of Matthew, around chapter 6, around verses number 31 through about verse number 33. Jesus answered the question. He says, take no thought about what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or even whether you will be clothed, for your heavenly Father knows what you have need of. And then look what he says. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So if you give until you are completely broke, God will take care of your needs. But now I know that everybody who has enough sense to have money are not going to give until they run out. And God doesn't expect you to give until you run out. He expects his fair share, though. He expects you to give just what you like you have prospered. And some of us like to think that, and I've said this before and I'm going to say it again, some of us like to think that that same dollar that you gave 10 years ago will go as far as the dollar as you give that same dollar today. But it will not. Many today have let their joy and their song and even their faith, they have let it erode, and they have become like the children of Israel who were captives in Psalms 137. They were captives in Babylon, and they were in such a sad state that they wept. They had hung their harps and refused to sing to the Lord. Some Christians today are like this because they are captives of Satan, and they are probably asking the same thing that some of those Jewish captives were asking. In verse number 4 of Psalms 137, they asked this question. They said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? When a Christian is out of church and out of serving the Lord, he is in a strange land. When he is out of serving the Lord, when he is not serving the Lord, he is a strange person in strange territory. When we are not right with God, we find it hard to praise him. Isn't that right, church? If you have found your song, if you have found your joy and your song has gone, you need to come back to the Lord. You need to come back to what and watch what he says once again in the text. I am the Lord and I change not. So God is not going to change, but we must make a change. God is not going to change from what he has promised us and what he has done for us and what he has laid out that is going to be for us. God is not going to change that. Some folk that might be sitting around waiting for change, you got a long wait. Because God is not going to change. He said, I change not. God's judgments and promises shall never go unfulfilled. It is because of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. In other words, if it wasn't for the Lord, where would we be? We could have been consumed. We could have been all gone. We could have been all wasted, washed out and gone away. But God has compassion for us. So look what he says in the text. In verse 6 again, he says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your father, ye are gone away from my ordinance and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? You know, some Christians are so far away from God, they don't know how to find their way back. Some Christians have gotten so far out there, they don't understand what they really are supposed to do anymore. And I'll tell you something, church. When a Christian loses his way, there's trouble ahead for him. When a Christian loses his way, there's much trouble in his life coming up. But the Lord says, I am the God, I am the Lord, and I change not. So the change must come from me. The change must start with me. God Himself is not changing. He stated that in the text. He said, I am the Lord and I change not. Everything and everyone has a beginning, but God is the exception. In Psalms chapter 90, around verse number 2, the Bible says, before the mountains were brought forth, before the earth and the world was, God was from everlasting to everlasting. He is God. In other words, God is the same today as He was on yesterday, and He shall still be the same on tomorrow. The Lord God, the Lord that we serve, still has the power of life and death in His hand. He told Moses that he would not make it to see the promised land over in Deuteronomy, I believe it was around verse number 34, because of his not following the Lord's instruction. So then Moses did die before the children of Israel got to the promised land. That same God we still serve today, the one who created the world and the one who made man, that same God we are still serving today. The very same one who raised Jesus from the dead. The same God who has not changed, but man has said within himself, God's word in the Bible is not really what God meant to say. Man has said that I think I can do a better job of saying for God what he really wanted to say. So we have come up and we have come together and we have decided, many of the scholars have decided to reinterpret what God meant. He has come up with new versions of the Bible, trying to satisfy himself more than trying to satisfy the Word of God. But Lord knows that God's words in the Bible are what He meant then and what He meant today. So the psalmist had it just right when he said in Psalms chapter number 119, he said, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. The psalmist here holds up the unchanging word of God. He stated that it's settled in heaven, which is the dwelling place of God, far from the sight of man, and totally immovable by man. In 1 Peter chapter 1, in the verses number 24 and verse number 25, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man are like flower of grass. But then the grass withers, and the flowers themselves fall away. But verse number 25, but the word of God endureth forever, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached. This is the word by which we live, by the word of God. So when you think about it, church, the word of God is not going anywhere. And sometimes when we try to get into these. Now, let me rephrase something I said a moment ago. There's nothing wrong with studying from an interpreted Bible, as long as the interpretation is true to what the Lord really said. There's nothing wrong with getting yourself a handy interpretation of God's word, because some of the words in the original language of the Bible is not understandable for some of us. But what I have a problem with is when man tries to reinterpret God as He spoke. We don't need a reinterpretation of God speaking. We need a reinterpretation that we might learn the word of God. So when you think about it, God's word is right. God's version of His word is right. We don't need this new version of the Bible. We don't need new versions to help us to re-speak God. We need new versions to help us understand what the word was when it was given, but certainly not to change what God was saying. Interpretation of God's word need to change. Interpretations of the word of God, man needs to change his thoughts, that he may be in line with what God was saying to us. In church, when you look at it, these children of Israel had become everything that God didn't want them to become. So He asked that question and He made that statement. He said, once again, I am the Lord and I change not. So to us today, God is not going to change. He's not going to change anything that's in His Word. He's not going to change what He said when He said. He meant it then and He still means it today. So when you think about it, church, if you don't like something in the Bible, If you don't like something God said in His Bible, those are God, the words of God, and He can put whatever He wanted to. He can say whatever He wanted to, and then man put it in that we can read. And sometimes we don't like what the Word of God says because it steps on our toes. It causes us to think sometimes. It causes us to say, I haven't been doing that. It causes us to say, maybe I should rethink this thing. It causes us to say sometimes to ourselves, maybe what's in the Bible is right. And I can tell you that it is. And many of men have tried to find contradictions in God's Word. But the contradictions are not there. They cannot be found. For God is not a contradictory God. God knows who He is and He knows who we are. He said, I am God, I am the Lord, and I change not. So neither will God change, nor will the old gospel is not going to change. When we find ourselves headed in the ways that are contrary to man's way, we have sometimes heard folk to say, or have you ever heard anybody say, I'm going to reinvent myself. I'm going to reinvent myself. Many have decided to change the name of the Lord's church. Some have added music to the services in the Lord's church. Some have even have praise singing in the Lord's church. Some even have said it's to enhance the believer's connection to God. But I present this scripture this morning. In Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16, the Bible says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, the Jew, and also to the Gentile, or to the Greek, if you will. If the power of God's already written word is not enough, what else, I ask, do we need? Oh, we could have praise singing if you wanted to, but then the next step after praise singing would be what? Praise dancing. And we could set up and we could get bingo going if you wanted to have bingo at night in the church. But guess what? That's going to lead to gambling. And then we're already washed away from God's Word by then. So it's best to leave God's Word just the way it is. Upon this rock, He said, I will build my church in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18. And so if He was going to build His church, doesn't He have a right to have His rules and regulations in that church? Do we need any new rules and any new regulations? I don't think so. God had already made the promise, had already told us just how He wanted the services to operate. He told us that upon this rock I will build my church and that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then the preachers are to preach the gospel. And what gospel are they to preach? They are to preach the old gospel, for there is none other. What else do we need? Man's made enhancements are not necessary. So let me give you an example. If your boss tells you that Friday is payday, now no matter what you do, no matter how you fix it, no matter how you try to enhance it, you can't make Friday come any sooner or your payday get there any faster, can you, church? You can't do that because the rules are already set in place. Friday is payday. Same way with the gospel. It is already in place. No one need to try to change the gospel. As often as I call out the text of the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, you already know what the gospel is. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we can't change that. When I die, I'm not going to be resurrected and come to bring another gospel. The gospel is already set. When you die, you're not going to bring another gospel. Oh yeah, you will one day be resurrected, but it's not going to affect God's gospel. The old gospel is the way for us to go. The old gospel. If it was good enough back then, it's certainly good enough for us now, today. Without any addition or without any subtraction. And watch this. I want you to watch this in Galatians chapter 1, around verse number 8 and 9. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel than that which we have already preached unto you, let him be accursed. If anybody comes preaching another gospel, it's not good enough. If it's not the old gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's not the gospel. And he continued on, he said, as we said before, I so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. You know why? Because the gospel story has already been given by God through the death and burial and resurrection of his son Jesus, and it cannot, will not, and shall not be changed by man. Oh, man can try to reinvent it if he wants to. But it won't be the gospel. It'll be man's version of the gospel. God's version of the gospel is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Now, since we know that God is not going to change, what must I do, preacher? If God is not going to change, what do I need to do in order to come close to God? Well, man must realize that the change must come from himself. If one has been lying, cheating, or stealing, he must stop, according to Ephesians chapter 4. Let him that stole, steal no more. And then in verse number 29, the Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Now, some church folk don't know how to play nice with others when it comes to edification. They don't know how to treat others the way that they should. You know, I could get up here and I could spend the whole few minutes that I have talking about somebody negatively. But what am I doing? Am I helping to edify you? No, I'm not. I'm talking about somebody. That's gossip. Usually it's gossip. I'm talking about somebody that doesn't make sense. If you know a brother or a sister that you need to talk about, maybe you need to talk to them. Maybe you need to let them know something ain't right with you, brother. Something ain't right with your sister. And I want to help you. I want to do my best that I can to try to get you back on track. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, Brother Carter doesn't know everything about the Bible. And sometimes I find it a little difficult to think of a scripture in mind when I want to use it, and I have to go back and think about it a little further, or sometimes I have to go and do a little research to find out where I wanted to go when I wanted to go where I was going. So what I'm saying is that if you play nice, you learn to play nice with other Christians, God will play nice with you, because you're going to pay when you don't do what the Bible says. Some church folk, before they can edify, they need to be edified too. Some folk need to know what edification really means. They need to know that they need to lift one another up rather than bring one another down. Oh, we're good at tearing one another down. Did you see what she was wearing today? Did you see how he looked today? He didn't even comb his hair. Why didn't you just go up and say, look, brother, you want to use my comb? Or why didn't you go up and tell her, that dress would have been nice on you if you had added a sash or whatever ladies call it on. But rather than do that, you'll come whisper in my ear and tell me, did you see how she looked? That's not edification. You're not edifying me. You need to be edifying the other person. And now if you got something you want to tell me, tell me. See, it's difficult when you're trying to edify somebody that you criticize them instead. There's a difference between edification and criticism. There's a difference between if you tell me something about me in the way you tell me, I can accept it better if you tell me nicely. See, I don't mind being criticized, but it's how you criticize me. It's how that the Bible teaches us that we're supposed to be, we're supposed to treat each other nice. We're supposed to treat each other right. Be good to all men, especially those in the household of faith. Now I tell you something, church. When it comes to this word edifying or edification, It means that we ought to learn to praise each other, would shower each other with praises. Not the same way you praise God now, but be nice to each other. Learn to say something good to somebody. And if you have to, pick up the phone and call them during the week and say, "How you been? I was thinking about you because I saw you Sunday and I didn't get a chance to speak to you." You know that what I said when I first started? Pray for them. And they'll pray for you, but even if they don't pray for you, you still continue to pray for them. You know, there are some sick folk who would do anything if they could get up out of their sick bed and come to church to tell somebody something nice. So you could be on your sick bed is what I'm trying to say. And you've got to remember just one thing, that God has been good and blessed you enough to bring you to where you're at right now. And remember what he said, "I am the Lord, I'm not going to change." So that means even though you haven't been being nice to folk, you might ought to consider being nice to folk once again. So God has already spoken. And so he said, "I'm not going to change." So the question becomes, will you change? Will you make it up in your mind this morning? Will you make it up in your mind this morning to say, "Lord, I'm going to change. And I'm going to start right now in the household of faith. I'm going to start with my brother or my sister sitting next to me. I'm going to do better, Lord. I'm going to do better when I leave the church." When I leave the church, and you know, this is something that many of us do. Some of us like to do it on a frequent basis. As soon as we leave the church, we forget about church. We like to play church only on Sunday morning. And we leave the church on Sunday afternoon and then we forget it. Now there are some who don't even get to church on time in the first place, so they have fewer moments to spend in church. So when you think about it, you need to make sure that you get right with the Lord. In order to get right with the Lord, you need to make sure you're treating everyone right as well. You need to make sure that you are doing the will of God once you get right with it. And church folk have a tendency to quickly fall back into the world. And I don't mean they start sinning all over again, but they tend to fall backwards a little bit right after they first become members of the church. You know, it's difficult to let the world go for some folk. And then when they become members of the body of Christ, they begin to wonder sometimes in their own mind. They ask themselves this question. Did I do the right thing? Yes, you did the right thing. You became a member of the Lord's body. And becoming a member of the Lord's body is a good thing and it's the right thing. It's the right thing to do, for I am the Lord, and I change not. So if God has already told me that He's not going to change, then guess what? I must change. How must I change? Well, you need to start looking at your life. And I don't know what your life is like. I have enough problem keeping up with my life. So you have to take an inventory of yourself to see where you stand with the Lord. And you go to the Lord in prayer sometimes. And you ask the Lord, "Lord, what do I need to do to get myself together? How can I come? Lord, give me the strength to put myself back on track. I failed, Lord, in this race. And I couldn't get up. But I need to know how to get up. Because I already know you're not going to change. So I've got to change. I am the Lord and I change not. So help me to change, Lord. Lord, I took a vow many years ago. I became a Christian. But guess what, Lord? I went backwards in the world. I went back out into the world. Because, Lord, I thought it was going to be so much different. I thought that once I got in church, I'd never have even as much as a headache anymore. But, Lord, I've got even sicker now. So I dropped out of the church. But the church is the right place to be on a Sunday morning. The church is where the Lord's house. And yes, you need to be in here. And what time do we start? Well, Bible class starts at 10 o'clock. Church services start at 11 o'clock. Now, you got up, you'll get up tomorrow morning at 4 o'clock and get on the job by 6 o'clock. And you can't make it to church by 11 o'clock. Something is wrong. Now, how do I get this thing right with the Lord? Well, you come to the Lord by hearing, believing, repenting, and then confessing, and then being baptized. But I know when I did this many years ago, I understood all the things I was supposed to do. But I got kind of lax in my duties to the Lord, and I kind of forgot. You know, as you age, it's easier to forget things. Sometimes I don't know what I'm even going into the kitchen for. I make a trip to the kitchen, but I don't remember what for. Or either I walk up the stairs in my house and get upstairs and say, what did I come up here for? So you can forget things along the way. That's my point. And when you forget things along the way, you need a gentle nudging sometime. So you ask the Lord, Lord, I know I've been off. I know I've been wrong. I know I've done some wrong things. So, Lord, what do I need to do? I need your strength in me, O Lord. I need you to give me strength that I may gather myself together and come back to the church. And when you come back to the church, don't sit back there and act like you never did anything wrong and you've been gone for 10 years. I did it, so I speak what I know. You need to come straight up front. And if you need some help, we'll send somebody to carry or hold your hand down the aisle. You need to come back up, come up front, tell the church that you have had some faults. You don't have to tell them what your faults were. Matter of fact, most of us don't really want to know what your faults were anyway. That's between you and God. And then you say, I've already been to the Lord and asked the Lord to give me strength and to forgive me. Now I'm asking you, church, to pray for me that I can grow stronger. For the Lord is not going to change. He's already told you that. For I am the Lord and I change not. If the Lord is not going to change and His ways are set, it behooves me to change. And if I change, just maybe I can stand a little bit closer and my walk can be a little bit closer to God. Because I got some news for you. God is not going to come back and reteach us on earth. He's going to come back to get us from the earth. So when you think about it, church, you have two options there. You either first become a member of the Lord's body or either you already have become a member of the Lord's body and you want to come back to the Lord. I give you that opportunity now as we together stand and sing the invitation song.
Number 272. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow